This is Dave Glowatz of MrRadio.org. I'm here with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. What up, Ben?
Not much. It's a lovely day.
It is. Today we're talking about Ben's column in the October 23rd, 2008 edition of the Reader titled The Mark of Madigan. Your article has to do with a Democratic candidate's campaign against an incumbent Republican state rep. Specifically, you connect the campaign tactics of the challenger, Aurora Ostriaca, to the Speaker of the Illinois House, Michael Madigan.
Right.
It looks to me that you base your connection of candidate Ostriaca to Speaker Madigan on the fact that Ostriaca's campaign material is paid for by the state Democratic Party, which Madigan chairs.
Absolutely. This is classic Madigan, and I truly have to give the man credit. His primary interest as the Speaker of the House is to keep his Democratic majority thriving. And what he's done consistently over the last 10 or so years is cultivate the campaigns of Democratic candidates who, if they get elected, pretty much owe their office to him. They owe it to him because he's literally lent them sort of the strategist who run the campaign, or he's paid for the campaign flyers that they mail. And when you're an upstart candidate running for a House seat, that's a key expense that most rookies can't raise the money for. Those mailings cost over $100,000 these days. You have to print them out and then you have to mail them. But beyond that, in this particular case, his knowledge of the House and the issues that come before the House enable him to help candidates target their mailing so that they have issues, ready-made issues, that they think will be successful at bringing out the vote. So I think he's a great strategist. There's no doubt that he's been successful at this. He's, been Speaker now? I forget for how many years.
He was elected in 1970. So wow. He's been reelected nearly 20 times because they have two-year terms.
He's the man. He was Speaker for a while, then he lost it, and then he brought it back.
But he's been state rep for that
long. And the brilliance of Madigan is that he's able to elect both social conservative Democrats and liberal Democrats. I think he's really smart in terms of electing his allies, who then become his loyal factotums in the House.
Going back to how long he's been in office, the incumbent state rep in this story, Rosemary Mulligan, has served as a state rep for 16 years. So she's been reelected 7 times. In fact, according to a researcher with the Institute of Government and Public Affairs over at University of Illinois, over the past 2 decades, overall election-to-election turnover in the Illinois House averaged only 18%, and that's the 7th lowest in the nation.
Okay.
So one of the things I'm thinking about here is term limits. Just for context, 15 states have term limits for their legislatures. And most of those limit legislators to serving for 8 years, a couple of 6, a couple of 12-year limits. What do you think it'd be like if Illinois had such a provision?
Uh-huh.
Would we even be having this conversation about this story?
No, we wouldn't, because two of the main characters in the story wouldn't even be in the House. Madigan wouldn't be there, Mulligan wouldn't be there, and Ostriaco wouldn't have an all-powerful force to sort of shepherd her through this. So I don't even know if she would be there. My God, I can't even imagine what it would be like around here if we had term limits. It'd be so radically different. I always was envious of New York City in this regard, that they have term limits, and I think they're healthier, at least on the local level, because of that. And now I note that in New York City, Michael Bloomberg and the city council have joined forces to amend the term limit law so they get to serve a third term, on the grounds that the economic crisis we're facing now is so terrible.
You blogged about this, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I blogged about this. And the grounds, they're arguing that it's such a crisis that they have no choice. But when I look at New York, it seems as though the greatest failings of Chicago aren't there. In Chicago, the greatest problem when you have politicians who are basically lifelong politicians, or they're in office as long as they want, is that they're free to do whatever they want to do. There's no consequences for their behavior. They tend to treat money and programs and employees as though they own them. They were entitled to them. And I'm thinking now, the obvious thing is the TIF program, which has become the secret budget for the mayor. I'm thinking of the Midway sale. If we had term limits, I don't believe they would have sold Midway. There's no upside on selling Midway other than getting a bunch of money right up front that could be spent right now by the people in power right now. If there were term limits, there would be no positive to that. You'd be out of office before you could really spend the money. I'm leaning toward term limits. If someone said yes or no on term limits right now, I would vote yes.
Thinking about how it could be enacted in Illinois, the public can enact term limits in a constitutional convention, something we talked about last time. Otherwise, the Illinois Constitution allows something called direct initiatives. That is, the public can force a statewide vote like it did in 1980 when it approved an amendment to cut the size of the Illinois House. But that would take a petition with signatures totaling 8% of the number of votes cast in the last gubernatorial election. So those are two of the ways that we could possibly get term limits enacted.
All right.
Some of the other reading I did around this was that, according to several sources, during the 19th century, turnover in elected office was very common. It wasn't until the 20th century that people started making a career out of public office, like very evidently the people you spoke of have.
So you're talking about in the previous century, there were no term limits. It was that myth of the citizen politician who took a few years off from planting his field to do his civic duty.
Some point as far back as George Washington, because the populace wanted him to continue as president, but he very famously said, no, you know, I'm going to step aside, let someone else do it.
Yeah.
How much influence he had in that regard is debatable, but a lot of people point to that very iconic move that he made.
In terms of Rosemary Mulligan, who's the person in the article, having studied her career, I think she's one of the more honorable Republicans in elected office. The Republican Party, in my opinion, has been hijacked by lunatics, and she has the courage of her convictions to remain a moderate, to remain pro-choice, and to accept gays as her fellow human beings and not try to use government to trounce them. So I think she's one of the more noble members of the Republican Party. I think that having term limit would do a disservice if someone like she were replaced.
Well, with term limits, the bad go with the good.
Exactly. That's the point that's always raised by people who are against them. And I used to be against term limits. I have to tell you, I used to think, you know what? Let the public make its own decision. It's anti-libertarian and inhibits our freedom to pick the people we want to pick. If we want to pick morons and knuckleheads and rogues and cowards and sellouts to be our elected officials, then those are the consequences of our behavior. But now, I suppose, as I get older, the contrarian in me is saying, let's just shake this thing up and get some new blood in there, get some new people in there. And the fact that the city council approved 49-0 the sale of Midway Airport, the fact that the city council is free to vote that way and there was no outcry, nobody turned out to the public hearings, it seems like it happened and was gone. It's just an indication of how asleep we are, the public in Chicago, and how free our public officials are to do virtually anything they want, regardless of the long-term consequences.
So in a way, term limits is a way to make up for the sleeping public.
Exactly. It's a law forcing the public to take control of the democracy. They don't want to take control of it. They'd rather be clueless. They'd rather be asleep. They'd rather just keep electing the same old people that they complain about.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome.
This is Dave Glowatz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.